بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 8th of August in the year 2019 الحمدللہ by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it's the second glorious Friday of the first magnificent 10 days of Zulhijjah. So all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has graciously bestowed us with such endless treasures. And I've completed the first week, the seventh night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached a point where he's migrated with his beloved wife the illustrious daughter of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Ruqayyah radiyallahu anha. And he was the first, as the Prophet mentioned, after the huge gap between him and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam with his family. And then I mentioned that this was the fifth year of the Prophethood, and then a year or so later the second batch migrated 102 noble souls, of whom was of course Sayyidina Ja'far radiyallahu anha. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naturally dearly missed his family and he was concerned about their welfare. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 81, comments upon the chain of narrators. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 579 of the New English Translation. It is related. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received no news of them, he went out of his dwelling to await some news. Eventually a woman came to him and gave him news about them. So let's look at this. So this shows how concerned he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to know how his beloved daughter was faring together with Sayyidina Uthman. And he would just keep going out of his dwelling, imagine, hoping that somebody would come and inform him that they've seen his daughter and his son-in-law. And eventually a woman gave news. Clarifying further, in Tabarani in his Kabir, Bayhaqi ibn Asakir al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 66, Ibn al-Mubarak al-Isaba, volume 4, page 305, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 81, Marif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 406 of the New English Translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 578 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Anas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates, Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, left for Abyssinia with his wife, Ruqayya, radiyallahu anha, who was the daughter of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. News about them was slow in reaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until a woman from the Quraysh came to him and said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have seen your son-in-law and his wife. He thereupon eagerly asked, how are they? She replied, I saw Uthman radiyallahu anhu had made Ruqayya radiyallahu anha sit on a slow moving Himar, I like a donkey but slightly larger, and he followed her on foot. I, the Holy Prophet, then uttered the above praise with regards to the virtue of their migration, which I mentioned yesterday. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at this. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eagerly asked that woman, How were they? Now look how she described the scene. She said, I saw that your son-in-law was walking, and he was making your daughter ride. So he was showing her great comfort basically. He was moving slowly while she was sitting upon the himar. So what do you take from this? You take that Uthman was greatly concerned over the welfare, wanted nothing but ease for his beloved wife, Aisha Ruqayya radiyallahu anha. And the Prophet was very happy to hear this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, therefore Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu's love and affection for his illustrious wife, that not only whilst he walked, he also made the himar travel slowly to make his illustrious wife feel the utmost comfort. Subhanallah. So not only was he walking, he never said, we'll take it in turns. He was also going very slowly, to give her full comfort radiyallahu anhu. Indeed, it is also related that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent a messenger specifically to bring back to him the news of his family. So before this woman had given the knowledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The Prophet actually sent somebody to find out what was happening. Hafiz Suhaili Rahmatullah Ali in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, volume 1, page 205. The messenger delayed. But upon his return, our beloved messenger said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will inform you, if you will, as to what delayed you. You stood gazing at Uthman and Ruqayya, marveling at their beauty. And the messenger said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how touching. He sends a person to find out how they are. And he's delayed. He hasn't come back on time. So when he finally arrives, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I tell you what delayed you? And he says, you was gazing at the beauty of the couple. In other words, Uthman, one of the most handsome of the Quraysh, and of course his beloved daughter. And he goes, yes, that's true, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This fact can also be ascertained from the following report. Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, in his Tariq al-Khulafa, page 161 of the English translation, Sayyidina Osama ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, he relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once sent me to Uthman's dwelling with a dish in which was meat. I entered and there was Ruqayya with him seated. I began to look at the face of Ruqayya one time, radiyallahu anhu, and another time I was looking at the face of Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. When I eventually returned, the Holy Prophet asked me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you enter the dwelling? I said, yes. He then asked, have you seen a couple more beautiful than them? I said, no, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no, this is when, obviously, the Prophets migrated to Al-Madinah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was no hijab. And you could argue that Osama was still a child at the time as well, radiyallahu anhu. But everybody who observed them, they were stunned by their beauty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have you ever seen a couple more beautiful than them? He goes, no. In another report, it explicitly mentions, Hafiz Balazuri rahmatullah alayhi in his Ansab al-Ashraf, page 89, the best looking couple anyone has ever seen is Sayyida Ruqayya and her husband, Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah. The best looking couple anyone has ever seen is Sayyida Ruqayya and her husband, Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. So like I mentioned, it is very important to point out these events took place before the obligation of the hijab for the female folk. Because you have to mention that. Because women were covered, obviously. So what's happening? This is before the hijab. So now, Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, he had migrated to Abyssinia. With regards to this migration to Abyssinia, the Holy Quran speaks highly of this and gives them two great glad tidings. So where is that migration mentioned in the Quran? In Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 41, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And as for those who migrated in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they had been wronged, لَنِبَوِّعَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا, we shall certainly give them a good residence in this world. وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, but indeed the reward of the hereafter is greater if they but knew. So let's look at this. So in this surah, Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 41, Allah the Almighty and Glorious is talking about a migration. He goes, those who migrated for my cause when they were wronged, then he promises them two things. لَنِبَوِّعَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا, we shall certainly give them in the world hasana, a good place, a beautiful place in the world. Then he promises, وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, but the reward of the hereafter is greater if they but knew. So what are those two places Allah Ta'ala is promising them? Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said in Qurtubi in his tafsir 10-107, what is referred to in this holy verse are the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were oppressed by the unbelievers of Makkah, and thus they were expelled until a group of them migrated to Abyssinia. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them a place to migrate, Al-Madinah, and granted them supporters amongst the believers. So simply put, the authorities have mentioned, it's talking about the hijrah to Abyssinia. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? That those who've migrated to Abyssinia, I am promising them a good place in the dunya. Fit dunya hasana. What is being referred to there? Al-Madina. So how does Allah the Almighty and Glorious describe the city of His beloved? Hasana. Think about that. Hasana. Beautiful. This was also related by Abdullah ibn Abbas and others, referred to Ibn Jirin and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs. Now think about that. If somebody says to you, how does Allah Ta'ala describe Al-Madina in the Quran? The first thing they're going to say to you is this. Is it mentioned in Quran? And it is. The name is mentioned. Madina is mentioned. Yathrib is also mentioned in Surah Ahzab. But then you ask, how does Allah Ta'ala describe Al-Madina? So from the hadith we know it's the second holiest city. But the base is the Quran. And you can say to them, Allah Ta'ala describes it as fi dunya hasana. And he goes, where does it say that? Surah 16 verse 41. Meaning, Allah Ta'ala is going to migrate them to a good place in the world. A beautiful place in the world. So Allah Ta'ala has described Al-Madina as beautiful. And also, of course, in the famous dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابُ النَّارِ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us beauty, goodness in this world, and give us beauty, goodness in the hereafter. The same word is used in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala describes Al-Madina as Hasana. But then what does he say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. But the reward of the hereafter is greater. Meaning, I promise you, you will go to Medina, a beautiful place. Then he says, but I also promise you that in the hereafter, you will have a greater reward. You'll be even more mind, you know, blown away what I've prepared for you. So who are these promises for in the Quran? Those who migrated to Abyssinia. Question. If these were the ones who migrated to Abyssinia, then what about the Sayyid, the one who was the one who initiated the migration to Abyssinia? Uthman, with Ruqayya, what has Allah Ta'ala promised them? So note, the Quran is testifying that this was something precious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also there's a report, I don't know whether I've jotted it, but I'll mention it briefly. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So putting it very simply, there was a woman that migrated to Abyssinia. Her name was Asma bint Umais. So remember that name. Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha. So she migrated to Abyssinia. Then she migrated to Medina afterwards. So Umar radiallahu anha went to see his daughter Hafsa. And he saw Asma. And he goes, who's that? So Hafsa radiallahu anha said, oh, that's Asma, Ja'far ibn Abu Talib's wife. So Umar in his heart, he knew she'd migrated to Abyssinia and he hadn't. So he goes, we beat you to the Prophet. We beat you. Meaning we came to Medina with the Prophet. You came afterwards. So Asma goes, he goes, what are you saying? She goes, we went to Abyssinia, we went to a land, you were with the Prophet all the time, we were with the strange people, we went through hardships. And she says, I'm going to tell the Prophet what you said to Umar. So when the Prophet finally comes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she tells him, Ya Rasulullah, Umar said this about me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he hasn't got more right to me than you. You all have a double reward. Meaning, he only had one migration. I to Al-Madina. He migrated from Makkah to Medina. You have done two. From Makkah to Abyssinia, Abyssinia to Medina. And then when the Prophet told her that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the other migrants who went to Abyssinia, they wanted to confirm this. They go, hang on a minute, what did the Prophet say? So Abu Musa al-Ashri goes, Asma, what did the Prophet say? And she told him the whole hadith and he couldn't believe it. He goes, tell me again, tell me again. So this migration was beloved. So the hadith testifies that they were very honored, those who were migrated to Abyssinia. Now this is what's amazing. So Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they were the Khilaf al-Rashidin. Who is the only one who migrated to Abyssinia? Uthman. Who else? Abu Bakr Siddiq. Did he actually migrate to Abyssinia? No. He had intention. He set out. The Prophet goes, fine, you may go, Abu Bakr. In Sahih Bukhari, then somebody met him. He goes, where are you going, Abu Bakr? He says, I'm going to a place where I can worship my Lord. He goes, you can't go anywhere. You're this and you're that. He goes, I will tell them that they won't say anything. So he goes back. So he was given the honor, Abu Bakr. Allah didn't want Abu Bakr to lose out. So, but the one who physically went all the way to Abyssinia was Uthman. So this is a tremendous honor for Sayyidina Uthman. And he actually said in one report, I've migrated twice. He actually said that. Now why were they so proud of that? First the Quran. First you go to the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, لَنِبَوِّعَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. We shall certainly give them a beautiful place in the world. وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. But indeed in the Akhirat the reward is far greater, if only they knew. Only for the Abyssinian migrants. Uthman, the Sayyid in this area, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, it was during their stay in Abyssinia that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with a grandson. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, it is related. During her stay in Abyssinia, Sayyidah Ruqayya radiallahu anha gave birth to a son who was named Abdullah radiallahu anhu. After this, Sayyidina Uthman had his kunyat, Abu Abdullah. So now this is the tragedy. You say to a person, who's the father of the Prophet's grandson? Because Ali. Correct. Anybody else? And he goes, it's Ali, Hassan, Hussein. He goes, have you missed anybody? Any other grandson you've missed? And that's the tragedy. We don't even know the family of the Prophet. So you say, what about Abdullah? Wasn't he the grandson of the Prophet? And be honest. Which one of us would say, oh yes, mashallah. You think, who? Abdullah, who's he? Abdullah, the son of Ruqayya. Then the bigger tragedy, who's Ruqayya? Oh brother. Right, Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet. He goes, who was the father? Uthman. So Uthman was the father of the grandson of the Prophet. Well done, brother. You're finally waking up. That's number one. Number two, where was he born? Abyssinia. Look at that land. Allah Ta'ala has blessed that land. Sahaba were born there. Imagine how proud they are of that fact. If somebody says to you, who's been born in your land? He goes, the Rasulullah's grandson, his flesh and blood. You think, oof, brother, khalas. Abdullah's born in Abyssinia. This is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did Uthman call him? Look at his knowledge, Abdullah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two names are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Now this is the tragedy. If you say to a person that you're blessed with a son, call him Abdullah, what's the usual response you get? Everybody is called Abdullah. Right? Now if you look at the Sahaba, you're right. If you were to ask me, how many Abdullahs do you know, Brother Yusuf? Abdullah Ibn Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Uthman, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Ubay, Abdullah ibn. Now think about that. Why didn't they just stop? There's too many Abdullahs, forget this. All they were concerned about was the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't give a monkeys about people. Our problem is we're more concerned about people. You give a beautiful name, you say Fatima. Oh, there's too many Fatimas. Get a special name, huh? Isn't that a special name? Right? So note, you shouldn't be thinking like this. Uthman called his son Abdullah. The Prophet must have been pleased over that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also worth mentioning, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Asadul Ghab, earlier during her migration to Abyssinia, Sayyidah Ruqayya had a miscarriage. Earlier, during her migration to Abyssinia, Sayyidah Ruqayya had a miscarriage. So this is interesting. She was blessed with a son. So she became the mother of the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before that, she had a miscarriage. Some say after, it doesn't matter. Again, jahiliyyah. You ask a person, you know, if a woman has a miscarriage, what's the situation? Oh, they go, oh, they're probably cursed, aren't they? Have you heard that? I've heard it, right? Oh, this woman, she can't have kids. Why can't she have kids? She has miscarriages. And they're talking as if it's a really bad thing. So your response to that is this. Why are you talking as if it's a bad thing? You should be jealous. So the first thing to establish is, are miscarriages a blessing? They are. For instance, in Ibn Abi Hatim, Imam Suyuti, in his Fadl al-Jalad, in the Faqad al-Walad, the virtue of remaining steadfast when losing a child, number 144, Khalid ibn Ma'adan, senior tabi'in, rahmatullah alayh, he said, a woman's miscarried child is in one of the rivers of paradise. He plashes around in it until the day of judgment, when he will be resurrected 40 years old. So think about that. If somebody goes, you know these miscarriages that women have, where do these miscarried fetuses go? Because they go straight to paradise. You go, what do you mean? They're in a river of paradise. Like you get happy when you go to swimming baths. We catch on, right? You know, they go to the river in Jannah. And the hadith goes, they're plashing around, enjoying themselves in a river of paradise. And when Qiyamah strikes, they'll be 40 years old, waiting for their parents. That's the first report. Those miscarried fetuses are at this very moment I'm speaking, enjoying this bliss. Subhanallah. Secondly, on the day of judgment, they will defend their parents. In Ibn Majah, number 1609, Tabarani in his Kabir, 20-145, Kanzul Umal, number 6575, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, relates to our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the one who holds my life in his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a miscarried child will pull its mother into paradise by the umbilical cord if she hopes for reward. Now, when a woman gets pregnant, the child is fed by the mother. Allah Ta'ala creates an umbilical cord. And look how touching it is. We've all got the remains of the umbilical cord, our belly bone. Allah Ta'ala leaves a mark on your body till you die. As if to say, don't forget your mother. Right? So this is the umbilical cord. That umbilical cord, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a miscarried child will take the mother by the umbilical cord into paradise. So imagine, another hadith, third hadith. In Ibn Majah, number 1608, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, number 468, Bazad in his Musnad, number 815, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 11,887, Kanzul Umal, number 6,577, and 44,424. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily when his parents are entered into the fire, the miscarried child will contend with Rabbul Alameen. It will be said to him, O contending child, stop arguing, enter your parents into paradise. Then with his umbilical cord, he will take them out of the fire and will enter them into paradise. Now what's interesting about this hadith, it mentions both parents. Because some people say it's only the mother, she goes through the changes and this, that. Thank you, brother. Talking about that knowledge again, right? It's both parents. Now what's interesting, they're in the fire. Meaning, the miscarried child is doing shafa'ah. It's interceding. He goes, Ya Allah, no chance. I'm not going to paradise. You're going to get my parents out. And look what the hadith says. Allah Ta'ala says, stop arguing. Take your parents. In other words, okay, take your parents. And then he takes both of them into paradise. This hadith indicates that the parents may initially enter the fire due to their sins, but the intercession of their children will save them. And one last report. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 5746, Bazar in his Musnad, number 815, Kanzul Umal, number 44468, the Badri, Sayyidina Sahal ibn Hunayf, radiallahu anhu, relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily the miscarried child will cling to the gate of paradise. It will be told, enter paradise. Why are you clinging to the gate? The miscarried child will say, never, until my parents enter. So, another Sahih hadith. Imagine they're at the gate of paradise. I tell you, stay. If I'm at the gate of paradise, I'm not looking around for anybody. I'm going straight in. The miscarried child, imagine. I'm not going nowhere. So they go, go, get it, go away, go. He goes, no, never. I'm not going nowhere. I want to know whether my parents are in paradise. Only then will they enter paradise. It is no wonder that Abu Huraira then said, now this hadith can, now you'll understand this hadith. In Ibn Majah number 1607, Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf number 11,888, Imam Suyuti in his Fadl Al-Jalad in the Faqad Al-Walad, the virtue of remaining steadfast when losing a child, number 85. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a miscarried child that I sent forth before me is more beloved to me than a mujahid that I leave behind. Subhanallah. A miscarried child that I sent forth before me is more beloved to me than a cavalry that I have left behind. The Prophet said, leaving a mujahid in the path of Allah is greater, more beloved to me than leaving a miscarried child. Thus, it is of the utmost importance for those couples who suffer from miscarriages to understand that one in reality has not lost anything, but in reality gained an immense bounty. Subhanallah, who suffered a miscarriage? Ruqayya. Allah Ta'ala was honoring Uthman and Ruqayya. It's not a dishonor. So remember, this is again jahiliyyah. Get this out of your system. Subhanallah, bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa bi rahmatika rabbana subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innas lafi khusril ladina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.